up, everyone? Welcome back to the Finta Football Podcast. We had a busy week of soccer with the Champions League back. The Champions! For those of you who know, they will know what I meant by that. But some fun games to kick off the return of the knockout stages. Starting off with, I'd say, the biggest one that caught the eye of most people was Barca PSG. Then that was on Tuesday. The second game we had Liverpool versus Red Bull Leipzig. And then today we finished off this week's with Dortmund versus Sevilla and Porto Juve. So we'll go over those, cover some key points, summarize those games, and just go into analyzing them a little bit further and just give you guys my takeaways on what I thought about those games. So yeah, let's get started on those. I'll start with the Liverpool Red Bull Leipzig game, which was on Tuesday. Going into this game, Liverpool was coming off not the best form, I'd say, in league play, which is rare because they were a really good team. And on the other hand, you got Red Bull Leipzig, a German team who most wouldn't know. I mean, the casual fan would probably recognize them, but another viewer or another who doesn't watch soccer as much probably doesn't know who Red Bull Leipzig is. But they're also a pretty good side who last season made it all the way to the semis, for those of you who remember. This year, they lost a couple key players, one of them being Timo Werner, who left to Chelsea. He was probably their best player, leading goal scorer, so that was a big loss for them. But in this game, Liverpool came out with the win 2-0, which for most, I think, would probably be the fair result watching this game. In the first half, it was goalless. All the action came in the second half, early in the second half, in the 53rd minute, when Mo Salah notched his first goal. And then only 5 minutes later, Mane got on the board. And those were the only two goals of the game. The first half was more of a midfield battle. I still think Liverpool attacked more. Red Bull Leipzig was just kind of sitting back, looking for the counter opportunity, which is pretty reasonable, given the opposition they're facing. You got the likes of Sadio Mane, Mo Salah, Roberto Firmino up top, which is a dangerous front three. So their best bet was, like I said, to just sit tight and hit them on the counter, which was what I think their game plan was going into it. And it worked for the first 45. They kept Liverpool pretty steady in midfield, I'd say. Not much chances created. Like I said, it was a goalless first half, and the goals came in the second half. But to be honest with you, I didn't catch much of this game. I only saw the highlights, which were the goals. And for me, after they got those two goals, it was really all Liverpool. I don't think Red Bull Leipzig was ever really much of a threat after that. Liverpool, this was a big win for them, given the recent run of form in the league. So they picked up a crucial first leg victory, which will give them that advantage. And the most important thing I think I'd say was that they didn't concede a goal, you know? So they got a comfy 2-0 lead going into the second game. Now they could play however they like. They could sit back, or they just keep attacking, you know, keep adding to the scoreline. But yeah, that was it for me for that game. For the second leg, like I said, I see Liverpool just riding it out, maybe sitting back, high pressing, maybe looking for a mistake from Red Bull Leipzig and just capitalizing on that. But I see Liverpool advancing in this one. For the next game, we'll do, let's do, I want to save the big games for last. So we'll do Porto Juve. Porto Juve was actually a match from today. And in that match, I caught the first half fully, the full half of the first half. And it was the worst of starts you could imagine for Juve. They conceded a goal within the first minute off a horrible mistake by a central midfielder, Betancourt. He gave a sloppy back pass to the goalkeeper, Chesney, and he just made a mess of it. I can't remember the forward's name for Porto, but he pressed high, made a good challenge, and deflected off him, and quick goal within the first minute of the round of the 16. What a way to start. But since after that, it was pretty much a midfield battle, like the other game. Not much chances created other than that in the first half. So it finished 1-0 in the first half. And then again in the second half, you know, you'd expect Juve to regroup, make some changes, possibly get forward more. But it was the worst possible way to start again. They conceded a second goal within the first minute again, even earlier this time. So, I mean, and credit to Porto, you know, I think when this fixture came out, the draw came out, Porto-Juve, maybe everyone was thinking, Juve is a stronger side. They got Ronaldo, arguably one of the best players in the world. But Porto's a good team. They finished second in their group to a tough Man City. And in those games versus Manchester City, they gave them a hell of a game. I think they might have tied one of those, if I'm correct, but I don't recall quite. But Porto's a good side, is what I'm trying to get at. They're led by a solid defensive core with veteran Pepe, who has won the Champions League with Real Madrid, knows how to play these big games. They got a solid goalie in Marchesin, who came out of Club America. Shout out America, Mexico. Just producing talent. They also got Mateus Uribe. For all those Liga MX fans, Club America fans, they're both solidified starters in that Porto team. So Porto's a good side. And I mean, throughout the second half, for me, the key to this game was that Juve really never seemed like a threat. They weren't playing attacking football. Like they weren't giving balls into Ronaldo. Ronaldo was, you could hardly tell Ronaldo was playing, and which is odd because he usually tends to step up in these big games. You know, they call him Mr. Champions League for a reason, and very little from CR7 in this one. But the big key takeaway was the errors. Like I said, the first early goal in the first half was just the worst way to start the game for them. And then after that, they really never seemed to regroup. Like I said, never found their attacking flowing football. And it's going to be interesting because they will play the second leg at home. I mean, there is no fans, which, I mean, I feel like right at this moment in time, it doesn't really make a difference playing home or away without the fans, because that does have a lot, for me, it has a lot to do with it, you know. And in Turin and Juve, for Juve, that's their fan base is really gets behind them. But without that, you know, who knows how motivated they'll come out being down 2-1 to, like I said, to like a really good FC Porto side. You know, they look really, really well balanced. They play a solid back line, like I said. So it's not going to be easy to overcome, but they definitely have the talent to overcome it. It is 2-1. Luckily, late in the game, it was the 83rd minute, I believe, Juve got one back. So that was a huge goal to get them within 2-1. So they cut the deficit short. So going into that second leg, I think that away goal is going to be really crucial. And though they're going to have to go on off that momentum, that last goal. But ultimately, I'm going to go with the surprise in this one. I think Porto is going to come out in the second leg, defend well, stay compact, and see the victory out. I'm going to go with Porto in this one for the second leg. But you never know. You know, you got one of the best players in CR7 there. He always seems to step up in these big games. So I wouldn't be surprised if Juve comes back either. But that was a fun game, a surprising result. In today's game, that was from today. Moving on to the third game, which was also today. This game was fun on paper. This game, two equally, I'd say. Actually, no. You know, Sevilla versus Dortmund. In this game, going into it, the reason why I think Dortmund, this was actually a huge win for Dortmund. They picked up the victory 3-2. But Sevilla came out with the lead 1-0 early. But going into this game, I had Sevilla probably as an easy favorite, to be honest with you. I was thinking maybe like a 2-0, 3-1 result. But it was anything but that. My reason being for that, for having that train of thought, was because Dortmund, going into this game, wasn't playing the best of soccer. I wouldn't say a crisis, but they're in really poor form. In the league, they're sitting sixth in the Bundesliga, like 10 plus points off first place FC Bayern. They're 3 points off the Champions League groups. But that's the reason why I think I had Sevilla going into this game winning easily, you know, because Dortmund, just for the fact that Dortmund wasn't playing the best soccer. And it looked like it was going that way early, because Sevilla, like I said, picked up the early lead off a strike from Suso in the sixth minute, which was a deflection. But still, that was an early blow for Dortmund. Once I saw that goal going, I was like, it's going to be like I predicted, you know, Sevilla is going to walk through this game. But Dortmund responded well. In the 19th minute, they got level off a wonderful, if you guys have time, look up this equalizer from Dortmund. It was a wonderful shot from their center midfielder, Dahoud, if I'm pronouncing that right. I'm not sure. He got it onto his right foot and just curled it right into the side net of the right side of the, just a wonderful strike, like 25 yards out. Just a gorgeous goal to tie it up. And I think that goal motivated Dortmund, because in the 26th minute, you had their number 9, Haaland, get on. He picked up the ball around midfield, dribbled it past a couple guys, did a little 1-2 with Sancho, Jadon Sancho, and then finished also a beautiful team play. And before I move on, I just want to point out that the play of this kid, this wonder kid, if you would, he's only 19, 20 years old, Erling Haaland, the Norwegian international, who is a bona fide superstar already at just the age of, you know, at that young age, to be literally carrying the load for your team is just insane. The guy has a bright, bright future, and he's already demonstrating that on one of the biggest stages in world football, you know, the Champions League. And he wasn't done there. He picked up his second goal in the 42nd minute, right before halftime. It was sloppy play from Sevilla as Rakitic turned the ball over in midfield. Royce picked it up and drove it all the way to around the 18-yard, slipped in Erling Haaland, and he took it first time off his left foot to the right side net. Just a wonderful counter-attacking goal for Haaland's second. Haaland is just, Oh, it's just fun to watch him play. It's crazy because he's so young. He's only, like I said, I'm not quite sure. I'm pretty sure it's 19. But imagine playing on the biggest stage at 19 years old, you know? It's just insane. And he's literally carrying the load for the team. This guy is definitely one for the ages for sure. And the next decade is all his, you know? It's fun to see that the game of soccer is in good hands with superstars like him. Like Mbappe, who we'll get into it later. You know, these young guys just stepping up huge for their teams. But yeah, that was the first half finished 2-1 in favor of Dortmund, which was good to see Dortmund bounce back from such an early deficit, giving how in the form they were in as well. And playing against a tough Sevilla team. I don't think the people realize how good of this Sevilla team really is. Just to point out some facts about how well they're playing. They're sitting fourth in La Liga, which is their domestic league in Spain. They were 9 games unbeaten going into this game, which when those games included a 2-0 win over Barcelona in the Copa del Rey. They're a really well-coached team by Julian Lopetegui, ex-Real Madrid manager for a while, ex-Spanish international coach. So this team is no walk in the park, you know. I think a lot of people had Sevilla as a favorite going into this game. And it was definitely, like I said, it was definitely looking like it was going to be an easy game for them. But kudos to Dortmund for showing heart, coming back after that early deficit. They took the 2-1 lead going into the second half and finished up with, ultimately, the game ended in a 3-2, which was really, really fun game. Sevilla managed to get a late goal in the 83rd minute off a Luke de Jong goal. So that, I mean, it's still, that goal definitely gives Sevilla life going into the second leg. Because that was a huge goal. You know, you're now only going in one goal short. And that was definitely a key goal for Sevilla. But my thoughts going into the second leg of this game is, I mean, if Haaland is playing, I just feel like he's one of those players who you could just rely on, you know, in difficult moments, and he's gonna step up. He's proven that he's one of those guys. He's that guy, you know. He lives for these big moments, these Champions League moments where he could just shine, you know, where they shine the brightest, and that's what he's proven to us, and I think that's what he's gonna continue to do. So, you know, originally I had Sevilla going through, but I think I guess I just didn't know how good of a player Haaland is. This guy is seriously a superstar already, you know, at his young age. But I mean, it's gonna be all to play for. You know, Sevilla isn't gonna let their guard down. They're gonna continue to fight. You know, that's their mentality is always a fighting team. They know how to play these European competitions, having won the Europa League last couple seasons. So that's going to be a fun second leg. And the keys for those, like I said, is going to be Haaland for Dortmund. And for Sevilla, I think it's going to be getting that early equalizer. If they manage to get on the board early within like the first 20 minutes, then it's game on, you know. But that's going to be a really, really interesting second leg. And it was a fun first leg for sure. I think that's probably one of the more even games that we saw out of this first week of knockout stages. That was one of the more evenly balanced out games / matchups. But yeah, that's that for the Dortmund Sevilla. We'll see how that second leg goes. And finally, wrapping up this week's action of the Champions League knockout stages was probably the most the most looked forward to game, which was Barcelona versus PSG. So it's just to summarize this game first. The first half, in my opinion, was very close. Barca looked comfortable. They had good possession and created some quality chances. They in the 13th minute, I think Griezmann should have scored. He was 1v1 versus Keylor Navas, and how he managed to hit it right at him, I don't know. I think that was a clear, that should have been a goal. For someone of Griezmann's caliber, that should have been a goal, in my opinion. But like I said, the first half was fun to watch just because both teams were going back and forth. In the 18th minute, Icardi also had a quality chance, which he should have finished. He just completely shot it wrong, shot it bad. But he should have had that goal too, in my opinion. Then Barca took the lead in the 27th minute when they were awarded a penalty. Frenkie de Jong was tripped down. I think it was accidentally. Kurzawa didn't mean to intentionally drop him, but he did clip him off a ball that was being played in by Messi. He did manage to clip his heel, and Frenkie de Jong went down in the box, which led to a penalty kick for Barca, which Messi then converted, giving Barcelona the lead on the 27th minute mark of the game. And like I said, I was able to watch the whole first half of this game, and they were looking good. Barcelona was looking good. They were, like I said, creating quality chances. They looked comfortable. But just for some reason, after that goal, after the penalty, it seemed like they just let their foot off the gas for some reason. They weren't keeping possession for the long periods of time like they were. They were giving sloppy passes, giving the ball away in bad zones of the pitch. I feel like they just got kind of... They were playing so good that I just feel like they kind of got too comfortable. And towards that end of the first half, just let it slip away. And it showed, because only 5 minutes later, PSG got the equalizer off a Mbappe goal. And you can't do that versus a team like PSG, you know. Even though they are without Neymar, which was the key, which I forgot to mention was a key point going into this game, was the absence of Neymar, arguably PSG's best player, if you would, and ex-Barcelona player. So, you know, they the pundits, everyone, the fans, they were looking forward to the ex-teammate Neymar clashing against his old team, especially after that crazy remontada, if you guys remember, a couple years back when Barca was down big and then they managed to come back off two big goals from Neymar. So it was definitely, you know, there was some tension in that, and it was sad that he didn't get to play. But like I said, PSG is still loaded with talent. I mean, you got Mbappe, another who solidified himself as, like, or he already did, you know, he was already a superstar. But it's just crazy how these young players are doing it at such a young age. You know, he just took the game by the neck in this one and got his hat trick. You know, that was just, but we'll get into that later. So he got the equalizer 5 minutes after going into the first half. And in the second half, more of the same from Barca. They just weren't keeping possession, making sloppy passes. There's this cool clip where Gerard Piqué, the Barcelona center back, is chewing out Griezmann for the same reason that they played Griezmann a ball and he lost it so easy. And you hear the fun thing that without having the fans is that you could hear all the players arguing, not arguing, but you could hear them talking, you know, how they communicate on the soccer field, which is really nice. You could hear the coaches on the sideline giving instructions. And as a soccer fan, I think that's great. You know, we've never been used to that. And on the highest level, it's so intense. The way these guys are screaming at each other, the way the coaches are giving instructions. I think that's one of the cool things about, you know, obviously fans make the game better, but I think that's a cool thing that this pandemic has brought, is just giving those sounds of the game, you know, just the raw emotions during a game. And this, there was this clip where, like I was saying, Gerard Piqué is chewing out Griezmann for not keeping possession of the ball, you know, and their typical Spanish lingo, he chews Griezmann out, telling him to keep the ball because they weren't keeping the ball, and PSG was just coming at them relentlessly, chance after chance after chance, and ultimately, you know, it was going to lead to a goal, which it did. They got that the goal in the 64th minute off another Mbappe goal. Great team goal from them, where I think this one, Leo Paredes hit a great diagonal ball into Florenzi, the right back, who played it back in square to the box. Piqué managed to kind of clear it. He got his foot on it, but it just fell right into the feet of Mbappe, and he just finished for an easy finish, you know. So that made the game 2-1. And then after that, it was pretty much all PSG. You didn't really see Barca connect anymore. No more chances created. Then you saw Moise Kean get on the board off a set piece header to make it 3-1. And then late in the game, in the 84th minute, you know, Barcelona's chasing the game. And off a counterattack, Mbappe just torches Barca for his hat trick. And you know what a player Mbappe, to get a hat trick on the biggest stage of them all against one of the biggest teams in Europe. You know, it just goes to show the stardom of this kid, Kylian Mbappe. You know, he's gonna be around for the next decade. He's probably arguably gonna be on the level of Ronaldo and Messi and these top players, you know. He's already proving it at the young age, and he's just going to continue to do it. Oh, the football is definitely in great hands, you know, with the likes of guys like Mbappe, Haaland, you know. It's crazy, but it's fun to watch him play. His speed, his power, just really fun to watch. So that game finished 4-1, very lopsided game. I don't think anyone was expecting that lopsided of a result. For me, especially going into this, I saw Barca as a favorite just because of the fact of the great form they were going in. You know, they were 7 unbeaten, 7 straight league wins, which is huge. They were coming off from playing bad, then to picking up the form. Griezmann was looking good, finally scoring, looking like he's settling in. Messi was starting to play better, coming off those two golazos that he had just gotten. So I saw Barca as a favorite, and especially with the absence of Neymar, was just added to that, you know. But PSG was just showed more heart, more resiliency in this match for me. You know, Barca kind of looked, after they conceded that first goal, they just never really seemed to pick back up. But I think that just goes to show that this Barca team isn't where they should be, you know, for the standards of the club. It just goes to show that they're still in bad form as a team. They need work done. They need more pieces. They need to refurbish the squad because it's not good enough to face teams like Paris Saint-Germain, you know, who invest a lot of money into their squad. So, yeah, PSG picks up, you know, it's going to be really hard for Barca to come back off of a 4-1 deficit. But crazier things have happened, you know. But I just don't see Barca having the squad to come back at off of 4-1 loss, you know, especially how PSG looked, and they're going back to their home, you know. So, and you know, I think Neymar is probably going to be back for that game, I believe. So that's just added to that. It just makes it even more tough, you know. But yeah, the biggest game going into this knockout stage was probably the more lopsided one. But it was fun getting back into the Champions League. You know, it's the greatest competition in soccer, the best stage of them all, the brightest lights. It was fun to get that competition kicked off again. And the rest of the games will be played next week, on Tuesday and Wednesday as well. I'm not quite sure the matchups, but I'm just excited that the Champions League's back. Thought it was important to do a little recap of that, just my thoughts on those games. But yeah, that's pretty much all I had set up for today's podcast. Just making sure. Yep, that's pretty much all I had. But probably be back with another recap next week on the rest of the games, but we'll see how the second legs go. Of course, they are two legs, but yeah, that was pretty much all I had. So yeah, shout out to everyone for tuning in. I appreciate it again. I'll always say that those guys who everyone who gets back to me, you know, with their feedback, it means a lot. Hopefully you guys enjoy it, and just like I said, these games are fun, you know, the Champions League. So we'll see how the rest of the games go. That was it for me. I appreciate you guys, and see you guys in the next podcast. Thank you.